If any of you have adult children, perhaps one of the things you've done is help your children to prepare for a wedding. The wedding of a child is perhaps one of the most joy-filled days in the lives of parents. And it's one of those days where more time is spent in the preparation than perhaps for any other family event. And while it's true they don't always have this quality to them, they are intended to be a celebratory event that will be one of the most memorable things in that family's history. Indeed, we could say that weddings are a big deal. Jesus, in today's gospel, the gospel that's actually set at the time of the last week of his life. So this is after Palm Sunday. We are into Holy Week when he gives this parable. He talks about God's kingdom as being this amazing wedding banquet that the king has been preparing for this banquet for a very long time, this banquet for his son, and now in a particular way, the banquet has come to fruition. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought of a royal banquet. Imagine if you went to your mailbox and you didn't get junk mail. But in there was this beautiful invitation, and it actually had on it Buckingham Palace. And it was in the most beautiful envelope you've ever seen. And you bring it in and you open it up, and it's an invitation to a royal wedding. Now, the royal wedding isn't going to be for another 2 years, but you have been invited. What would your mindset be over the course of the next 2 years as you were invited not only to the royal wedding, but actually it was going to be held in Buckingham Palace, and there are 775 rooms there, and there was actually going to be a place for you to stay. Now, as the day draws closer, the Queen actually sends out from her royal staff people who actually come to your home, and they say, here are the plane tickets for you to come to the wedding. And some people think, well, you know, I've really been thinking about it. I don't think I'm going to come. I have something else I'd rather do. I think I'd like to go hiking in the mountains this weekend. Or other people say, you know, thank you for the offer, but actually I have some business to attend to. And then others who are given the invitations, when they come to give the tickets, they kill the people from the royal palace. Now, would that ever happen? Of course not. But we have to have this story in mind to understand today's parable, because that's what it's like here. The king has given the invitation years in advance. And now that the wedding is about to happen, he sends those who represent him to say, come, it is now. To help us better appreciate what this parable is about, I want to take a little bit of time to look with you at the Old Testament reading. Because one of the things you need to know about Jewish marriage customs is that the invitation would be sent, and then much closer to the day of the wedding, remembering that these weddings would happen usually in small towns, then word would be sent, it's now time to come. So what I want you to understand is the passage we heard from Isaiah 25, written 800 years before Jesus came, is the wedding announcement. This is the invitation. And listen again to what we hear in this invitation. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. So two things, this well-aged wine and this remarkable meat. Now here's the point that I'd like to bring to you. In the original Hebrew, it doesn't really translate well as the food of rich food, of a feast of well-aged wines. Rather than this rich food, the better translation is the following: a feast of fat things, a feast of choice wines, of fat things full of marrow. Now remember that this wedding is happening on a mountain. It's Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem known for? It is the city of sacrifice. And you might know the verse John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world so that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. I didn't know it until I was studying this week. This is Leviticus 3:16. At the very end of Leviticus 3:16, it says, the fat belongs to God. The fat belongs to God. And then it goes on to say, you don't eat the fat and you don't eat the blood. In other words, they were to be offered up as part of the sacrifice because, of course, in the blood was the life, and the fat would have been used within that context of culture in a way that it was precious. It would be used for lighting oil lamps and other things. So the fat represented something that was very special. But here's the point of this passage. Who's offering the sacrifice? It's not the people offering the sacrifice to God. It's God who is offering the sacrifice. And so this tells us something, that this is a very special sacrifice that God is offering. What is the fat? What are the well-aged wines strained clear? We'll come back to that in a minute. But as part of what God is offering, Isaiah goes on to say, and he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. So somehow associated with this banquet is a victory over death. Somehow associated with this banquet is God's remarkable compassion and generosity. And the thing about this banquet, it's not just for the Jewish people. This banquet is intended for all the world, for all the nations, for everyone. So that's the invitation. But listen to the last part of Isaiah. It will be said on that day, that is when the banquet is fulfilled, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. So the end of the passage from Isaiah says, oh, now the wedding banquet is going to kick into full force. We've been waiting for it. This is why Jesus tells the parable of the wedding banquet. He wants his hearers, who are the Jewish leaders, to understand, you know that invitation that Isaiah sent 800 years ago? It's now being fulfilled in me. And what was the reaction? Some were indifferent, saying, you're not the Messiah. We don't care. Others were saying, we don't like your ways. We're going to beat up your messengers. And will even kill some of them. And then Jesus, in talking about the parable, says that God hears, or the king hears of this, and he sends an army that destroys the town. Jesus is actually here predicting the destruction of Jerusalem that would happen between the years 67 and 70 AD. And of course, what is this about? It's about a people turning in on themselves, becoming more zealous in a way of revolutionary violence that leads to the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. This is not what Jesus wanted. And then the parable goes on to speak of how, subsequent to this, the message will go out to the whole world, to the good and the bad, and everyone will be welcomed into his feast. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the Eucharist. Because, remember I said in that Isaiah passage, it's God offering the sacrifice. On the cross, Jesus doesn't offer just the richness of fat. He offers his very self. And what he invites all of us into is in a deepening appreciation that whenever we come to the Eucharist, we are anticipating the fullness of the marriage supper of the Lamb that will happen in heaven. And that we not miss the point. At the end of the parable, we're told that there's someone from the nations who has been invited to the wedding banquet, but he's not dressed in wedding attire. And the king sees this and he says, friend, how did you get in here? And he's then directed to be thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What in the world is that about? I think it's about this. That when we come to the wedding banquet of the Son, when we come to the Eucharist, it is to transform us. Earlier on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So the wedding garments are the garments of good works. That is the outgrowth of grace. And the good works that we're called to practice are the works of charity, the works of love, the works of generosity, the works that are spoken of in Isaiah, seeking to overcome death, working in such a way that we embody in our lives the very character of God. And then Jesus at the end says, many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? That God actually calls everyone. But in terms of being chosen, it's not that God wants to choose some and reject others, but it's how we respond to the king, to his son, and to the wedding banquet. And so this is what Jesus is saying to us. The Eucharist is a profound and precious gift. This is anticipated in Isaiah, fulfilled in Christ, and will be fully realized in heaven. And because of what the Eucharist is, we are not to approach it with indifference. How many people do approach the Eucharist with indifference? Oh, I'll get around to it if I have time, if there isn't something better to do. Many people approach the Eucharist with indignation. Think of all the times through the last 2,000 years in various cultures where the Eucharist has been shut down, where the host has been desecrated, and where our Lord has been diminished. But then there are those who truly, in responding to the invitation, are not indifferent to the Eucharist. They see here the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. They see in the Eucharist that sign that points to the fullness of heaven. And then we recognize that in this life we need patience, because God's presence isn't fully realized here. But the more we learn to live with this kind of purpose, with this kind of meaning, we see this profound unity between the biblical story and our own lives. And let me conclude by illustrating this with a very beautiful story. I have the permission of Judy Montez to tell this story. Yesterday, Judy's husband of 45 years, Adrian, died at 11:30 a.m. Judy and Adrian are founding members of St. Peter's, and they have been bedrock people in this parish. For the last 3 weeks, Adrian has been in the Dulcina Hospice, and since the 25th of September, he hasn't been able to eat anything. A week ago yesterday, I visited him, and he said, yeah, it's been a week without food. And he said, you know, one of the things I love the most is fat. I said, what do you mean, fat? Well, I love steak that's marbled. I love to be able to eat goat that has that fat on it. And I said, Adrian, do I ever have a Bible passage for you? And I read to him Isaiah 25. And I said, this is an anticipation of the hope of heaven. This is God's promise to you. And so in a very real way, that as Adrian was in a place of deep suffering and he said, I'm getting impatient, I want to die, I want to see God, he continued to persevere and had a deep hope that was at the very heart of his character and his disposition over these last 3 weeks. Well, yesterday morning, Judy received a call from the hospice saying, you'd better come soon. Adrian is about to go. And Judy arrived just before 11:30. And Adrian opened his eyes and looked into his wife's eyes and said to her, I'm going now. And with that, he died. This story speaks of the deep longing this man had to be with Jesus, a man who took the Eucharist very seriously in his life. And as I think of Adrian and his example, and of the suffering that he experienced, this suffering actually drew him closer to the Eucharist and closer to Jesus. Beloved St. Peter's family, it's my prayer that during this time of COVID-19, that we will recognize more deeply what the Eucharist means and what this celebration is all about. For here, every nation, language, people is invited to a banquet that will go on forever and ever in heaven. And so may we discover the banquet of the Son here in the Eucharist, grow in living with patience and hopefulness through this very difficult and trying time. So that with David we can pray, "Surely the goodness and mercy of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." The Eucharist allows us to do this, for which we are thankful.